Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Are we ready for the word this morning? Father, we thank you for your word and just the atmosphere of truth this morning. We want to take a bath in it. We want to revel in it and go forward in it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning or your mobile device. What was, Robert, what was the joke? What do you call a security guard at Android store? Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's try it. Here we go. This is my Bible. I am who God says I am. And he says I am his righteous ambassador. I am his earthly representative. I am his very offspring. So when God sees me, he sees himself. Woo! Amen. Amen, amen. We're going to continue our series this morning on all things new. See how much time I have. All right. All things new, and the Lord has been revealing the magnitude of what Jesus Christ has done to overturn the fall of man in the garden and restore us to our original condition and position with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. And with him, the new man is emerging. The further we get into truth and to Scripture, with the Holy Spirit's help, we start realizing, hey, I'm not who I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ. If you're new with us today at Grace Church, this is your first time, let me say we're truly honored that you're here. We're glad that you're here. If you have any questions, let us know. We're simply inviting people on a journey to discover and know Jesus, be equipped in truth, be developed as his fully devoted disciple. We're not here to play church. We are the church, and we want to live that every day of the week. Somebody said amen. I do want to say this. If you're here today, you're not here as a follower. You're here as a leader. I'm going to let that settle just a little bit. Okay, if you're here today, you're not here as a follower. You're here as a leader. God never destined you. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which we did in the Origins series, he never tapped you as a follower, he tapped you as a leader. And that's proven by the law of original intent, which we see in Genesis. How about the law of origination? When he wanted to make fish, he spoke to the water to bring forth fish. But when he wanted to make you, he spoke to himself. Let us make man. Let us make man. Not let the water bring forth something. Let the firmament bring forth something. So the law of origination is proof that you're not destined as just some mediocre creation, a follower. You have been charged with dominion and atmosphere on this planet. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. How about the law of divine design? How he made you and what he made you for. If God's asking for it, then you know you're created to accomplish it. And then the law of first mention. The first time that we are mentioned in Scripture, you go back, you look at it as a human being, he's destined you for dominion and leadership within the earth. How about also one of the definitions of truth is original information. So the original information about you and fellow human beings is that we're called to lead and not just be subdued and taken over by life's circumstances. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. This is Good News Translation. It is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through him. How about that? So death was ruling and reigning because of Adam. But there was a second Adam that came that reversed all that. And now we get to rule and reign through Christ. Verse 18. So then, as the one sin condemned all people in the same way, one righteous act sets everybody free. And what? Gives them life. He didn't clean you to leave you empty. You know, when we're seeing Holy Spirit this morning, it's all about his presence. Everything he did the blood, the cross, the suffering, all of that, the road to Golgotha, everything he did was for the presence. Was so the Spirit of the living God could return to you and you could have intimate, close fellowship and influence. Amen. By your Father's Spirit. Amen. That's so powerful. The word there is Zoe, life. The Greek word is Zoe. He came to give them life as God possesses it. That life is in you. Everybody say, that life is in me. Verse 19, and just as all people were made sinners as the result of Adam's disobedience, in the same way they will all be put right with God as the result of the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ. My goodness. God sent Jesus here not to start a religion, but to restore a relationship and a leadership position that had been lost by mankind. I'm going to say it again. He didn't come to start a religion so you could give God a shout out for an hour on Sunday. Adam didn't fall from an hour on Sunday. Adam was heart to heart every day with his Father, spirit to spirit every day with his Father, thought to thought communication. That's what he came to restore. Due to the fall, there's been a lot of misrepresentation of God going on. And Ezekiel, of all the prophecies of the coming of the Spirit and the coming of the kingdom, this one, I think, sums it up the best. This is Ezekiel 36:22 in the message. Therefore, I tell Israel this message. I'm doing this for me and to save my character and my holy name, not for you. My name you've blackened in every country where you've gone. I'm going to put my great and holy name on display, the name that's been ruined in so many countries, the name that you blackened wherever you went. I'm telling you, religion doesn't give God a good name. It puts people under a performance-based relationship. And we're always the hamster on the treadmill, running 100 miles an hour trying to get somewhere. But we can't represent God without the Spirit of God. And we sure can't hear him very well if our bat phone vacated after the fall. Remember, the Holy Spirit's your bat phone. It's your direct line, spirit-to-spirit communication, because God is spirit, and whoever talks to him, worships him, abides in him, must do so in spirit and in... All right. Very good, church. We're an educated church this morning. So I'm going to put my name on display, and then the nations will realize who I really am, that I'm God when I show my holiness through you so that they can see it with their own eyes. Woo, come on, somebody. For here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of these countries. I'm going to gather you from all over, and I'll pour pure water over you. I'm going to scrub you clean. Who's going to do that for him? Jesus Christ is going to wash us and cleanse us. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit inside you. I'll remove the stony heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. How about this translation? God-centered, not self-centered. America. God-centered. Have you noticed that self-centeredness has bled into the church? So much of church is still self-centered. And people who are consumed with nickels and numbers and noses fall prey to that. I don't care at all. The leadership of this church, we're not interested in numbers, nickels, and noses. We want human beings to know who they were created to know. And that's Almighty God. Amen? So we're not going to sit here and preach, hey, God works for you. Work the scripture right. Give him some money and he'll give you some. I'm going to tell you, you don't own any money. It all belongs to him. In the new covenant, you belong to him. He bought you. He purchased you at a great price. And you belong to him. Amen. So God-centered, not self-centered. God-willed, not self-willed. And who's going to do this? He's going to do it. I'll put my spirit inside you and make it possible for you to do what I actually tell you to do. How? The Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has exploded in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Love of God. You love God more than you think you do. You lose sight of that because you give way to your feelings and your performance and how you feel. But the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Love of who? Love of God. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually walk in his ways. Before the Holy Spirit, we just tried to, you know, look like him as best we could. We're just a bunch of dirt bags walking around. We had nothing in the container that was like unto God. Surely you don't think we were made in his image through the dirt suit. I mean, look around at the variety of dirt suits we all have on. Okay? You're made in his image because he put a spirit inside of Adam and Eve that was like unto God. Well, when we sinned, when we declared independence from God, which is, that's the sin, Adam and Eve declared they didn't need him to be like him. Remember? If you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. So they declared independence of him, and then the Holy Spirit, the spirit inside like unto God, vacated. So it couldn't return until Christ came and paid the price for that to happen. So he's going to empower us to keep his commands. You'll once again live in the land I gave your ancestors. Look at that. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. When man lost the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom, his dominion, and his real representation couldn't happen on the earth anymore without the Spirit. Everybody say without the Spirit. Because Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, by the Spirit, the kingdom of God comes. By the Spirit, his kingdom comes. By the Spirit, dominion is taken. By the Spirit, not by you, not by your self-control, your self-will, your human effort. What's the willpower? Not by willpower, not by natural force. By the Spirit, the kingdom comes. Dominion is extended. That's why Jesus came and shed his blood. Did all that he did, and thank God for the cross and all those things. Religion has tried to make the cross and the blood and all those things the end. That's not the end. That was a means to the end. To get the governor back inside of you and me. So we'd have inward intimacy, inward influence. And then we could extend his goodness. And the earth would start looking like heaven. Can I get a witness? We have serious job security right now on planet Earth. If the goal is for earth to look like heaven, we're going to be here for a little while. And yeah, well, you know, I just hear it in my spirit. Well, but Jesus could come tomorrow. I know he could come tomorrow, but I want you to go look at this scripture and then you come back and share with me what you think. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, when this gospel, it's a specific gospel, when this gospel of the kingdom of God is preached throughout the whole earth, then the end will come. The church isn't even preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. I mean, we preach the gospel of church membership, the gospel of dying and going to heaven. But what about the gospel Jesus preached? The gospel that the kingdom of God... Isn't it amazing that we weren't predestined to get saved, water baptized, join a church, and then when we're dead, we can have a relationship with God? Jesus brought relationship with God here into this realm by the Spirit, and we are those people. We are those people born of the Spirit, washed in His blood, who want to see the earth look like heaven. Forgiveness over grudges. Love over hate. Amen. All right. My point is the cross and all those things were a means to an end. Jesus called the cross necessary. It was necessary to get the Spirit of God back inside you. How about a foretaste? I like this one. I want to take you to Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the New Living Translation. Jesus, because he hadn't gone to the cross yet, he could release his spirit, his authority upon the disciples, but they weren't born again. Okay, not till after the cross. John 20, verse 22, he breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The 72 disciples returned from going out and casting out devils. You know, he gave them authority. Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And yes, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. How much? All the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Can I get a witness? He's not talking about killing bugs. That it's a euphemism for the demonic. Principalities and powers of where our real war really is. So let me just liberate you from fussing and fighting with human beings. Because we don't war with flesh and blood. Verse 20, but don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your dad in heaven knows your name. God knows your name, people. Verse 21, at the same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys know Jesus was spirit-filled? The word rejoice here in the King James, if you look it up in the Strong's, literally means he leapt up and down for joy. Literally leapt up and down for joy. So, yes, I'll leave that alone. And he said, Father, Lord of heaven and... Do you see? You see, all of heaven backs you to make change on the planet. We have authority. And we majored for hundreds of years on dying and going to heaven. Why would he give us authority? Why would he give us power over all the enemy? The enemy is here. He's not in heaven. So we not only have job security, we have job description. How about this one? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news to the poor, bind up the broken. What's the Spirit for? To do all that? So he says, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the children. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. Guess what Jesus is thinking while he's jumping up and down? He's saying to the guys, you got a taste of your future because I'm going to die and I'm going to cleanse you. And the same authority and spirit that you're having so much fun with, I'm going to put it inside you. Amen. He says, better I go away because then I'm going to put what I have in you. Amen. Come on. Amen. So I'm going to give you a glimpse of your future. And then he's thinking, you know what else, boys? You just got a taste of your past because this is what Adam was created to do. This is what me and Dad created Adam to do. This is what was lost in the garden, that you would go take dominion and authority over the evil that the enemy's trying to propagate in the earth. Don't go take authority over human beings. Take authority over the enemy. Woo! And by doing that, set the human beings free. So Jesus did what was necessary for restoration, right? For God so loved humanity, he gave his only begotten Son. For the Son so loved humanity, he gave us the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit so loved humanity, he gave us the Father's dominion back. Because dominion, the kingdom, comes by the Spirit. Matthew 12:28, by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes. And I'll say this, the God of heaven is so incredible, he made all of heaven's citizens his ambassadors and personal representatives. Isn't that cool? The God of heaven, the King of heaven, he's not like, hey, you guys are all cannon fodder, I'm really it. No, if you get born again, then you get to be an ambassador and a citizen of our Father's kingdom. A king among the kings. He's the King of the kings, but we're kings nonetheless. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 5. God wanted your ambassadorship restored. If anyone's in Christ, where? If anyone's in Christ, not in Adam, in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Has reconciled us. I think, again, the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning, even throughout worship, is proof that we have been reconciled. Yeah, but I had a bad weekend and I did 4 things that were sinful. Well, apparently, his Spirit is greater than your mistakes, and he's still going by Spirit and truth that you've been reconciled. We get all spun up in what we do and how we behave, and there's truth that exists beyond how you behave, people. So deal with it. So when you stumble, get up. Go back to the Spirit. All right, so he's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Wow. The world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has now committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, who are we talking to? The world, people who aren't reconciled yet. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What do they have to do? They have to get themselves reconciled, or they just have to believe? Believe. Believe it, receive it. Accept it, start walking with him. Ask him to come in because the price has already been paid. Verse 21, for he made him knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. The word concile means to make one. So if he's going to reconcile man to himself, does that not indicate we already once were conciled? We were in the garden. That's what I mean. Jesus came to turn this thing around and get you back to where you were. And he doesn't restore you. Like if you fell from here, he doesn't restore you to here. I say, well, you know, you're just a sinner, but I'll sign off on you. No. You've been reconciled. Now, listen to this. Well, this is exciting. It's exciting. It's like all the humans are like, wow, I didn't realize what had happened. I thought Jesus came and we celebrated his blood and the cross and then we became church members. No, you've been reconciled. And the word concile means to make one. So God was in Christ reconciling man to himself. He's making you one with God once again. That's what he came to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. An ambassador is a diplomatic agent of highest rank who represents a foreign nation or sovereign. How about this? An ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger on assignment. You're on assignment here. Remember me telling you last week that you existed before you manifested? You came from heaven, you're going back to heaven, you came from your father, you're going back to the father. So you're here on assignment. So what happens when the church who's here on assignment, and I mean the real church, the body of Christ, here as God's ambassadors, all they do is dream about leaving? What happens? Who's behind that theology? Lucifer. He wants no contending for planet Earth. And we major on, we're going to die and go to heaven. Are you a Christian? Do you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? We're supposed to be ambassadors. We're supposed to be here changing the culture of the earth to look like heaven. Come on, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not my words. That's Jesus' words. That's the prayer he introduced to us. Look at this. I'm going to put it up here and blow your mind. What's an ambassador do? Well, they go into a foreign country to represent and extend the culture, goals, values, and interests of their sending country. You've been, do you know what born again means? It literally means you've been born from above. So you're heaven's son. Heaven is a nation. It's a country. God's the chief in charge. And he births you by the Spirit because of what Christ did. Remember, the Spirit couldn't enter you until the shed blood. Well, that's happened. So now you get born again by the Spirit of heaven and heaven comes here. Relationship with God happens here. And because of that, then he picks you. He taps you for leadership. When he said, go and make disciples of all nations, it's a leadership mandate. See there? Somebody's excited. So we're going to represent and extend the culture, goals, values, and interests of our sending country. We're here to represent heaven. My goodness. So what do you think the relationship is between representation and resource? If the United States has an ambassador that they send to countries to represent them, what's the relationship between representation and resource? Do they make sure their ambassadors are taken care of, that all the bills are paid? And yeah, I won't just simmer in that one. How many people in America right now, I wonder, view themselves, would call themselves church members? How many of those, quote, I'm a church member, church goer, how many of them see themselves as born again Christians? Born of the Spirit. Not that I come and do, you know, liturgy or tradition or this or that, but actually made new on the inside and that God's presence is in them. Of those born again Christians, how many of them see themselves as ambassadors and personal representations, representatives of heaven and its resource? I dare say not many. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely ours already by God. You've already been given everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. That's what you do for an ambassador. I'll get to this later, but when you become an ambassador, they pay off and forgive all your debts. Because they don't want the ambassadors worrying about anything but representation. So he forgives all your sin. Forgives all your debt. And says, hey, don't worry about anything. Seek ye first the kingdom and everything else will be. That, Jeremy, that pales in comparison to what I grew up hearing. I heard, work hard, do this, do that. If you don't give God any money, he won't take care of you. I belong to him. Yeah. He's my heavenly father. He's the only way I even have money I can, quote, give is because he provided it. Right. What did I do? I didn't sow 10% in the womb. So if you're heaven's ambassador, then all of heaven's resource belongs to you.
Amen.
Now, here's the kicker. Is it for you? No. It's not. It's to meet human need. It's to represent him and his interest in the earth. Just like the gifts of the Spirit aren't for you to go around and tell everybody how amazing you are with the gifts of the Spirit. You have the gifts of the Spirit to help be an ambassador and represent God to other people. That he loves them. Right? So when you're on hold with the AT&T person for like 20 minutes, you should be praying and saying, Lord, is there anything you want to speak to her? This has happened. A good friend of mine, Brian Blount, Lord said to him, she has a shoulder injury. So she came back on the phone. He'd been waiting 20 minutes. Now, he could have just huffed and puffed and been all mad for being on hold for 20 minutes. But instead, he was asking the Lord, is there something you want to say to her? And he said, this is going to sound weird, but I'm a follower of Jesus. And I just sense, is there anything wrong with your shoulder? Well, she about passed out. So he ends up praying for her shoulder injury that she had had for such a long time. And she literally felt the pain go away. So maybe we're not here for ourselves. And that, my friends, flies right in the face of the culture of the United States of America. Where everything is about my name, my brand, get mine, my opinion. Yeah, he said means nothing, and that's actually true. As an ambassador, you don't have your own opinion. You only have the opinion of the government you represent. So I just helped you out. Totally. I just set you free from all your arguments. Well, what's your opinion on that? Well, I really don't have an opinion, but I can tell you what my government's opinion is because I have a constitution right here that tells me what my government's opinion on that is. Love it. Man, are we having fun or what? So, if you're heaven's ambassador, all of heaven's resource belongs to you, not for you though, but to meet human need. How about 1 John 3:8? The reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Look at Matthew 5:3, Good News Translation. Jesus said, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Who has the resources of heaven? Those who know they're bankrupt without God. Matthew 5:10. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Okay, amen. We're getting somewhere. Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. See, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. It's one thing to belong to it and go there when you're dead. He didn't say, blessed will you be, happy will you be when you're dead. Literal King James, he said, blessed are. Present tense, blessed right now. I'm blessed right now because heaven belongs to me right now. Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Blessed are you now. Heaven is yours now. How can I have it, Lord? Well, if you're poor enough to receive it, if you'll acknowledge, don't declare independence like Adam did. But if you'll acknowledge, the only way to be like God is with God. The only way to represent God is to be like Him. Make sense? If you'll eat of this tree, you'll be like God. So they ate of it independently. God never told them to eat of the tree. He told them just the opposite. So when they did that, they were saying, we don't need you. We can be like you without you. So Jesus says, listen, I'm coming here to give this back to you. But the criteria is you got to acknowledge you're bankrupt without God. You can't do it without Him. That's why I don't like religion, because religion, we toil and toil. We do all this stuff to try to please God or somehow imitate Him. You can't be like Him without receiving Him. I don't care how many communion cups you drink. I don't care how many churches you join. I don't care how many times you get water baptized. Even water baptism doesn't transform your spirit. Christ transforms your spirit. Amen? That's how we get born from above, by the Spirit. And then Matthew 21:43. And so I tell you, added Jesus, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. He's talking to Israel here, the Jewish religious system here. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who produce the proper fruits of it. The fruit of abiding in Him. The fruit of dependence on Him. That's who the kingdom belongs to. Whoever's relying on Him. Isn't that wonderful? It's good news. What have we been telling people for all these years that they possess in Christianity? We tell them, well, you got your ticket to heaven, right? Taken to heaven inside, free details inside. It's on the church signs. Free ticket to heaven, details inside. So all we promised them that they had was a ticket to heaven. And 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, the Holy Spirit's been given to you so that you know everything that you already have. You have heaven's love. Your Father's love is already yours in the down payment of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14. Your Father's forgiveness is already yours. Your Father's acceptance is already yours. Your Father's kindness is already yours. The Holy Spirit ought to be showing you these things as you're receptive to hear. Amen. Ears to hear. No, we said, well, the one thing you own now is your ticket to heaven or fire insurance or whatever you want to call it. And then you get to work for God's love, His approval. Ooh, work for finances, because He'll never give you a dime if you don't do something for Him. You got to work for God's backing, work for His acceptance. Okay, all right. I gotta at least start this. 7 things you need to know as heaven's ambassador. Number 1, you represent a nation, not yourself. 1 Peter 2:9-12. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're a nation. You belong to something bigger than yourself. When you walk into Walmart today, you didn't walk in. The whole nation of heaven just walked into Walmart. The whole nation walked in. You see how confused we are? It's like, yeah, this is all about me. Well, no, it's really not, because you represent the nation of heaven. You don't represent yourself. You're His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then He says, who once were not a people, but you are now the people of God. You didn't obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. So what do you do with it? Share it. He didn't ask you to earn it, but He did ask you to share it. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims then, while you're in that land representing God, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Wow, how about that? There's a lot of that going on Twitter. When they slander you and say evil against you, it's just, no small stir. It's let's defeat evil with evil. You can't do that. You can never use an unkingdom method to reach a kingdom end. This is a law. The only way to have a kingdom end result is to use kingdom method. And my Bible says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God in the earth. Woo, I'm preaching good. Thank you, Holy Ghost, or you're preaching good. I'm just here. Let me say this too about individualism. Stephen, you guys can come. I'm over time. My goodness. I got to one. I have seven. You'll be back. Thank you, May. Listen, I got to tell you this. Walter Rosenbusch was an incredible theologian back in the day. And in 1917, 102 years ago, I want you to listen to what this guy said about the modern day church. This is very important. What he noticed was there was becoming quickly this fascination with personal salvation. Personal salvation and going to heaven. And here's what he said. If the church continues to lose sight of the kingdom of God as Jesus' primary aim and mission, then men will seek to save their own souls and forget about the plight of the rest of the world. And he said, when you were baptized in Jesus' day, that was not a celebration of personal salvation. That was actually an enlistment in the cause of the kingdom of God filling the earth. Amen. Come on, amen? Amen, go ahead. So, we've got to flee this rugged individualism in regard. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I realize we have individual giftings and so forth. But Christianity, we're not here for ourselves. We're here to represent His great name. That's why if you're getting out of bed every day hoping that people treat you right or so-and-so says something nice to you, you got to flee that thinking. You're not here for you. You're here to make sure His name gets represented. And what better way to represent Him is if they're giving you evil. If they're paying you evil, don't repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Does that make sense? Represent Him. That's an opportunity. Last thing. When you go to work or you go to school, they're not just meeting Joe the Christian. They're meeting the entire nation of heaven. They're meeting an entire nation. You represent heaven. This word on ambassadorship is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. This is what Scripture calls you. You're an ambassador on His behalf. How about this? When you pray for the sick, it's not your piddly prayer. The entire nation of heaven, including the King of Heaven, Jesus Himself, is praying that prayer through you. How about this? When you minister to someone, it's not a sinner saved by grace. You're a new creation. You're a representative of all of heaven is ministering in that circumstance. And you're sure not praying as Joe the church member. I wrote, they don't meet Joe the church member from the first church of the frozen chosen. They're meeting heaven's ambassador who's filled with the King of Heaven Himself. I mean, think about that. Remember, you can't represent Him without Him, so He's in you. And if He's leading you to pray, when you pray for that person, you invite the Lord. Lord, pray through me. Minister to them. I'm the vessel. You're the power. See how much easier that is than trying to work ourselves up into something? Know who you are. Know where you came from. Know where you're going back to. And then you can take the towel around your waist and start serving humanity with Him. Amen? Stand to your feet. Amen. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You this morning for the Holy Spirit that rightly divides the word of truth. And Father, we shake off all that stinking thinking. We shake off all the emotions and feelings that have steered us wrong for so long. And Lord, we embrace the reality of our sonship, our citizenship, our ambassadorship. Church, will you just open your hands with me for just a moment? Father, would you just deputize and authorize them for a great week? Lord, that they would have your eyes to see hurting people. That they wouldn't live unto themselves. Lord, they would really live to represent your great name. Lord, that when they're on hold with AT&T or Apple or whoever it is, Lord, that they'd be mindful of prayer, always abiding, always listening, always receptive. Father, anoint their hands and feet. It's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So, Father, use us. Fill us and use us to make a difference. Lord, not only that when people see us, that they see you, but Lord, that how about when you see us, that you see yourself and your representation once again. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, give God praise. Amen. So good. If you need prayer, stick around.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.